you mentioned the big fall in bond yields. I mean, very resemblant of the convergence trade of the late 90s when all European bond yields fell to German levels. Do you think it's a great mistake? Do you think that, I mean, I was talking to Hugh Van Steeders in the break and he was saying, you know, it's all in anticipation of QE, so that the ECB is going to come and buy these bonds, you might as well buy them too. The fundamental problem hasn't been solved, has it? We are not growing the European economy enough. We have very high unemployment rates in Greece, Spain, and we have an incredibly dissatisfied electorate with what I don't know where Syriza is in the current opinion polls, but we have 40% say of Greeks voting for the extremes of left and right. You know, the impression of the bond markets is that the European crisis is over, but what's your...
Well, before 2008, we had Ponte Gurt. We had walls of money coming to the periphery of Europe, creating, sustaining an unsustainable bubble. And now what we have is what I call Ponte Gurt, which is exactly the same thing, another wall of money, which is mainly motivated through the official sector this time, to sustain an unsustainable, supposedly austerity drive, which creates debt deflation, making both public and private debt unsustainable in the periphery, but at the same time making it quite profitable for investors to invest in assets, in paper assets, in places like Spain, Italy, Greece. But you know, since I mentioned Greece, let me give you a poignant and quite poignant example of what you just said. We had a bond issue recently in Greece which sold like hotcakes. Now we all know that Greece is insolvent. So what we have is a paradox with a capital P in our hands. But it isn't a paradox when you look carefully into it. Because what the ECB and Berlin are signaling to investors is, you know, this is only 3 billion euros worth of bonds, buy them, we will cover them, they will not be haircut, the rest of the debt will be haircut, which rests on the shoulders of the European taxpayers. Right? Now, is this a solution to the problem? Is this a reform that is moving in a manner that creates a modicum of confidence in a better future? I don't think so. This is simply a political game for declaring victory in the realm of the euro crisis. And of course, if you show that Greece is back in the bond market, you're claiming that you're defeating the crisis, when in reality, under the semblance of calmness in the financial markets, you have a tectonic plate of the real economies of the periphery and the core of the eurozone being pulled apart. And that, as we all know, these deepening fault lines will cause another earthquake. Whether the earthquake will take place in the bond market again, or whether it will take place in the political market, one needs to be a prophet in order to be able to say, but what we do know, or what we should know, if we don't use the hostage strategy, is that this is not sustainable.
Do you think that most Greeks wish they'd never joined the euro now? I mean, they might not vote to leave it, but do you think they wish?
I think so. I think so. Look, you asked the question before, was the euro a mistake? Is building a skyscraper at stake? No, if it has the right foundations. The euro did not have the right foundations. Are we creating the right foundations? No, we're not creating the right foundations. We are using a bit of plaster and a few conjuring acts in order to pretend that we did, but we are not doing this. So I think the Greeks are very financially astute. I mean, one does become astute once one has gone through this horrific nightmare. They understand that the great difference, the dynamic part mattering more than the static situation. So they understand that it was a mistake to enter the eurozone. Greece was not ready to do it. I don't think Europe was ready for it, but nevertheless, Greece was certainly not ready. And they also understand that there is no paradox here, there's no contradiction, that getting out would be a catastrophe. Because once you're in, you create a hysteresis path that if you try to reverse it, you don't go back to where you were, you fall off a cliff.
When do you see the Eurozone staying together now? I mean, more people want to join, of course.
I think it's obviously the point that has been made by Yanis, I think, are provocative. I think they have quite some popular support too, and of course there is some financial support in relation to what we said. I would agree that probably the expansion of in the number of countries that joined very quickly was probably overdone. I mean, in retrospect, it's always easy to judge these things in hindsight. Probably Greece wasn't ready at the time. I happen to think, though, that the construct of the EU ultimately should include and would have included Greece in any case. I think there was some measured amount of some of the figures too. Eurostat perhaps didn't watch it carefully enough. I think expansion is important in creating something. I mean, after all, Europe is a very large area, but it can accommodate. But we should, in fact, be very much more careful, and I think we will be more careful in assessing, in fact, whether the conditions exist for further countries joining. And the disciplines that may be imposed by Germany, but by a few others too, northern countries, on the financial viability, I think will be more stringent, and I think that's a good thing.
I want to move on to growth and how we get growth would do everybody some good, right? There are 350,000 French people in London, I believe. London is the sixth biggest French city in the world.
Seventh,
is it? Thank you very much.
Boris,
Italians are flocking here. I was talking to the Italian consul, really overwhelmed by people, and I was talking to Italian business school, and the young people there, they can't start businesses in Europe. I don't know how it is on Greek immigration. I know in Spain, young engineers have been moving to Germany. In Spain, Italy, and Greece, it's all very low down the ease of starting a business school. How are we ever going to solve this unless we get economic growth? And are we sort of mucking around with worrying about financial regulation when the real issue is how do you get people to start businesses and employ workers that grow the European economy? Yeah.
Well, I think we are facing worldwide a great conundrum. We have a mountain of idle savings, and we have a mountain of losses and debts, and the two are not communicating to one another. So what we need to do is find a way of energizing the idle savings, plowing them into productive investments in the real economy that create the growth that we need. In Europe in particular, we have the debt inflation cycle in the periphery, which is really not helping at all, mildly. But just to give you an example of something creative we could do, we have two institutions in Europe that are EU-wide, not just Eurozone, but nevertheless, which operate along the lines of some kind of new deal for the Eurozone in terms of investment, both at the level of public infrastructure and at the level of SMEs. We have the European Investment Bank and its sidekick, the European Investment Fund. Now, at the moment, you know, the figures that are being bundled about are tiny in comparison to what we need. But if those two institutions embark upon the large-scale investment-led recovery program for the Eurozone, it could work in conjunction with QE from the ECB, for instance. There is a planned investment from the EIB and the EIF involving an ultra-fast speed railway linking the privatized port of Piraeus with Munich. Now, the reason why it's going ahead, of course, is because the co-funding is not available, because Greece, even Austria, does not have the fiscal leeway in order to provide 50% of the funding that needs to match up the EIB bond issues. Now, well, if the EIB is allowed to issue all the bonds for a project like that, and the ECB supports that issue in secondary markets instead of investing in structured products to simply intervene in the bond markets, the EIB yields start rising about a certain level. And the EIF operates as a venture capital fund, the public venture capital fund, for the purposes of directly injecting money into funds, these ID savings, into startups throughout the Eurozone in particular, with the key backing implicitly, not explicitly, of the ECB. This is a kind of response which I think has the capacity of creating the impetus of doing.
It sounds like exactly the sort of infrastructure project you should think of. It might remind me of the Erie Canal, which made New York a huge hub for US traffic. Turkey has its problems. It's had a two